Reading this morning is from Mark 5, verses 1 to 20. Jesus restores a demon-possessed man. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs were feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him. He said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Amen.
Shall we pray before we proceed? Father, we thank you for the reading of your word, and we commit that you speak to us in a special way, in Jesus' name. Amen. The story is interesting. If you see from the preaching program that we have, this is not the text for today, which was there initially. It's one of those texts that comes in the morning when I've already done the other work for the particular Sunday, but I just feel divorced to the passage, so it is this that I replaced with. But before we proceed, we are going to sing Amazing Grace. So you bear with me, I'll get a bit closer because I'm trying to get a glimpse of what is on my PowerPoint. Some of these things, you learn them in experience, you know. You want to put your favorite color, you don't know that it will not work, you know. Yeah. So, even the title of this, very interesting. I was even afraid of it myself. I was asking myself, who does this? Who gives a title like this, you know? What the hell got into him? When I gave this topic to my sermon for today, I froze. I said, oh, can this be godly? But then I said, this is what the Lord is talking to us about. What the hell got into that man? He was cutting himself with stones. And the story tells us he used to live in the graveyards. But then, at the end of the story, we are told that he goes out to the Decapolis. You know. Like you know, or you can remember, in math, you know, the deca is 10. And the polis is city in the Greek. So this man literally went to 10 cities and told his story. What the hell got into him? It was the kindness of Jesus. What got into this man that changed his story was the kindness that Jesus showed to this man. This man, when Jesus had moved from the other side of a lake and came to the other side, that's where he met this man coming out from the graveyard. But Jesus did not leave that man. Of course, his family members had tried to help him. They had tried to bound him so that he cannot go anywhere. But the story says he could just break the chains. Jesus was kind to this man. He went near him. He asked him his name. He was trying to relate with him. Christ felt pity of this man. I don't know your worldview. Of course, I only have a glimpse now. I can go with our little ones to learn how to cycle. You know, I was teaching them to cycle, and one of them, we went into the cemetery near our house. But in Africa, you dare and do not such things, because graveyards are not a friendly place. Even in those days, in the times of Jesus, graveyards were not paved. It was a total solitary place. Actually, where we come from with my wife in Zambia, in the villages, no one can just take a walk to the graveyard. You have to ask the chief's permission for you to visit the graveyards. Christ was kind to this man. Someone was isolated. Christ felt pity of him. In the story, it says day and night he was crying, screaming, and cutting himself. But when Christ looked at him, he saw a human being behind this person that people had now let go because he was mad. Christ delivered this man. He did not leave him. When he looked at him, he saw a man. He was kind to him. And that is why you hear in the story, he said, come out of this man. Philippians chapter 2, verses 10. Every knee and tongue will openly confess that Jesus is Lord. And in the story, the demons begin to ask and say, please, the Son of the Most High God, do not kill us. Please send us into the pigs. They obey Jesus because he's talking to them. He said, go out of this man. I know it's a difficult story or situation. You are trying to think about, is it possible? You may be thinking whether it's possible, whether demons or evil spirits can even actually possess someone. On the African continent, we believe that demons truly possess people. But that's not the story for today. The issue is not whether demons can exist or whether they can even possess someone, but that in the story we have read, something had an influence, had influence in the life of this person to an extent that his normal life was disturbed and he had to go somewhere else where he thought he would be, he was free from people. He was dislodged from his family. Probably he was a family man. But something came, was controlling him. Just like drugs, when they control someone, some people leave, they are bored, their families are destroyed. I had a friend of mine, a young man, younger than me, until today, it's now 10 years. After drug addiction, he died because of drugs. You know, I still can't believe that he's gone because he's a young man who had an impact in my life. But the control of drugs just took him. I have also seen a ministry of deliverance. I've seen people being delivered from different ailments. Some from drugs, some from diseases, mental health issues in the ministry of the church. Whatever happened to that man in the story is that his life was restored. That's what we are told at the end of the story. Something extraordinary in his life happened. In the story, we are told people, when they came from the villages, they found a man in his right mind, and they were amazed because they knew this man lived in amongst the tombs. But he was there standing in his right mind. But the interesting thing also is that this man, instead of going back to his family after his deliverance, this man begs Jesus that I would like to go with you. I don't know whether that would be restoration, because the person must be restored to their family. But he begs Jesus. He says, Jesus, I want to go with you. That's the interesting part. I think it's only the person who was involved, who was under the influence of the evil spirits, as the story we are told, who understands why he wanted to follow Jesus. He understood his problems. It was him who was in the problem who understood what problem he had. The freedom that he had, he thought, if it wasn't for Jesus, then I would. He understood what he had gone through. Like I was saying, graveyards. It's here that you can take photos on the graveyard. Because when I was in Alva, I would send my wife and kids when every time I come from Krakmanan, I would drop, the church is near the graveyard, so I would take time, because there's even a bench, I sit there, I'm even doing a video call with her when she was in Zambia. In Zambia, you not do that, like I said, graveyards. You can't go alone, because there are a lot of things that, not that there's someone to harm you, but they are not friendly places. So that man understood. He spent nights in amongst the tombs. So he understood what he was going through to an extent that Jesus, who had come to his rescue, he said, no, there's nothing else that is important. I'll have just to go with this one. But Jesus talks about gratitude. Jesus talks about gratitude. He tells a man, go and tell your story to many. Go and tell your families. You do not have to come with me in order to thank me. But just go to your family when you show them the grace of God in your life. Jesus, according to him, gratitude is basically telling others the goodness that has happened in your life, the good things you have seen. Gratitude is basically, it's not about having everything, but it's basically amidst the many challenges, you still have someone who is kind to you, someone who cares for you. You still have someone you can chat with, you know. Some people have children, but they have no contacts with their children. So if you have a child and you are in contact with them, you can be happy because you are lucky. Others are looking for that opportunity. To this man, Jesus says, go and tell your family. Speak about your story. And I was thinking, and here is my thought. Why people don't come to church, be it here in Scotland or in Africa, why people don't come to church? It's mainly because they haven't seen tangible results from the churches, from what comes out from the churches. Our lives been transformed through our works. If lives are not being transformed, why should they come to church? In Africa, recently we are talking about the Puritan theology. This world is not my own. I have where I'm going to heaven. So you can destroy it as much as you want because it's not your home. Your home is heaven. Something that is not tangible. But we talk about heaven, something that is not tangible, but ending up to destroy what is tangible, the earth that we are living on. And now, busy now talking about the eco, global warming and rest. So when tangible results come from the fellowship of believers, if someone can speak of their story and how they are contributing to the wellness of the community, I think people can. Why should someone come to church and not go to certain charities? What do we offer that is different from what other charities are offering in Dundee? What do we offer that is different? Is it tea? Is it food? Oh, people can get food from a food bank. Why then should they come to church? If they come to church, we can offer them food, is what we think we can offer them. These are the questions that run through my mind as I interact with the scriptures. Because our being Christian should translate into something that saves the community. Because Christ, when he came to liberate us, he did not only come to liberate our souls, but was also to create a just community. It's a big picture. People can only be inspired by what we have gone through, our story. Our story. Like I say, if we can, we act the same, then why should they come to church? If what we do is the same, if our kindness is only goes to those that we know, then Jesus said, then why should people follow you? And are you different like others? Because even others are kind to their friends. Are we only kind to those that come to church? Are we only good to those that we know? The influence of the church should start, like Jesus said, you will be my disciples and you start in Jerusalem and Samaria and to the ends of the world. You start in your home. But you have to. Our influence must start from here. Our fellowship must start from here. Our kindness must start from here. But it should go out. It should not start just be here. I said at the beginning, as we finish this story, is that this man's impact and influence went as far as the 10 cities. And it's shocking how one person can reach different paths. But it also shows us that it's possible to influence decisions, to influence how people look at things, to influence how the church can be looked at in the days to come. He just went with his story. He told his family, and it was easier. It was easy for him. Why? Because people saw the previous him and they knew him. And this is my struggle that I have every time. That we as a church, people must be able to see our influence. What we do to the world, what we do, how we live our lives, how we are kind to many, how we participate in all kinds of lives of our community. And I enjoy I love what you do at parish nursing and all those that are doing parish nursing. At one time I came to Connections Cafe. I saw what is happening. You know, we are trying to out, not just on a Sunday. You know, there are many things that we are doing, but we can do more. We can do more. Our presence in the community. Our presence in the community, our church going forward must have this community presence more than we've had. Jesus, his ministry was felt everywhere in all aspects of lives. What are we doing? That which we are doing, we need to enlarge. It's time to enlarge. It is my prayer that we'll continue impacting our community. The kindness that was shown to that man, the man wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus told him, you have to go and tell your story there. You don't have to go with me. But you have to tell others. In short, people have to see what God has done. What God has done. You may not become a minister like me, but the way you are, what God has done. What I believe is that God was at work in that man in the story. And God is still at work today. The Bible says he never slumbers. God is at work among us. There is no time that he stopped working. He is at work even now. Maybe we just don't talk about what God is doing. What are you going through? Is it fear that makes us not to go out? Is it our doubts that we don't talk about what is happening? I've started praying for our ventures, our activities like Parish Nursing, Connections Cafe, that in the future God can give us the ability to enlarge. Our parish has enlarged, so even the activities can enlarge. I'm praying that we can get funding, we can get people. God, we can enlarge because what we are doing is marvelous. I've been to presbytery meetings where people have been asking me, say, oh, we've read what is happening at Dandiro, and would love to come to just ask how is it going on so that we can be doing something. I say, oh, the message is going, is impacting, but it needs to be echoed more and more, and people will see that we are not just praying on a Sunday, but we are transforming people's lives. It is my prayer that God's kindness will cause us to save our community. That's my prayer. We're singing, Jesus Shall Reign.